Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
So, see you there.
If the roar of the crowd gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry, then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast. Here are your hosts, Dale Lippin and Trey Van Buskirk.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's your boy Dale in here with none other than Trey Van Busk himself. Trey, what's up, man?
Coming in not feeling the hottest right now, man.
Yeah? What's going on with you?
Got a little head cold going. I haven't had one of those in a while. It's no bueno. I'm kind of a bitch, dude, when I get sick. I'll be honest.
I don't think it's so much that you're that. If I'm not mistaken, a while back they did a scientific study that said that men get sicker than women do. So, you know, there's always that joke about how men act like they're dying when they're sick and that they're babies. But medically speaking, scientifically speaking, we get sicker than women do.
Okay. Well, I'm cool with that. So I won't be drinking beer tonight, but I am going to drink. Ooh, you know what this is? You familiar with this?
Is that San Pellegrino?
It is. This is Italian sparkling water. I'm a bit of a king, good sir.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Oh, so this is the genesis to your question earlier.
Yeah.
Is the sparkling water thing. Okay, I gotcha. Fill the listeners in on what we're talking about here.
Well, I'm on the sparkling water kick because I was at a meeting for work and I was sitting at the table with my boss. And they said, oh, water's for the table. And I said, no, good sir, I'd like some sparkling. And then he looked at me and he kind of gave me this, and then he walked away. And then my boss kind of was like, oh shit, he just put me in my place. And I'm like, look at that, you peasant. This is the sparkling water of the kings, dude. So is there something, Dale, I pose this question to you, is there something that you do very minimal, very mellow, that makes you feel like a king in a world full of peasants?
So now that I know the genesis of the story, I may have to reevaluate my answer. First of all, sparkling water is disgusting. It tastes like you're drinking static. And
it's an acquired taste, which clearly
I don't have me here in the swamps, the low country of South Carolina. I'm not drinking, I'm not drinking sparkling water. I like my water unsparkling, because what you're drinking just tastes like, ooh, I don't know. It tastes, I can't do that. How it just pops and fizzes in your mouth. It's disgusting. Anyway, something I do that makes me feel like a king among mere mortals. I had a sappy answer now that I think about it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, I didn't understand the genesis of the question. Now I do. The answer I was going to give you, the thing that makes me feel like a king amongst mere mortals, is it's a twofold answer, and I'll adjust it, but I'm going to give you the old answer first. The old answer was going to be my marriage. And the reason why I was going to say this is because we're coming up on 18 years. Now, most people my age are not married that long. And the other thing about it, the other flex on it is that my wife and I get along beautifully. Like, when people make jokes about how, like, you know, the wife this, the wife that, that doesn't resonate with me at all, because we've literally, I mean, we argue sometimes like people do, but like, I don't complain about her when she's not around. So, I don't know.
Wait, dude, is she watching the show right now?
She might have a gun right off camera. Yeah, dude. Yeah.
I want you to blink twice if you're in trouble. Yeah, thank you.
I'm in trouble. But no, so now that I know what you were saying, I think one of the things that I do that maybe feels like a little bit of a flex. Actually, you know what, dude? I kind of live a pretty humble lifestyle. I don't know if I have anything, to be honest with you. I work. I really don't know now.
Gave you all day for this question.
Well, I didn't understand. I thought this was going to be a between me and you thing. I didn't realize you were going to put it on the show. Yeah, I don't know, man. I order meat from Stay Classy Meats. I have meat delivered to my house.
It's good. It's good.
And that's not intended to be an ad read. I mean, I literally have meat delivered to my house. A lot of people don't do that. So that's a little bit of flex. Matt says, first a Super Bowl, now sparkling water. There's something wrong with Dale because those things kick ass. All right, let's talk about this.
Yeah, let's do. Let's dive into this.
Let's do this.
You're old as shit. That's why you didn't understand it. You didn't understand it.
No, here's the thing. I need to, very rarely do I walk back the things that I say, right? But I'm going to revisit this. I'm not walking it back. I'm revisiting this, okay? Mm-hmm. So I don't want this to be confused with a walk back. This is a revisit, all right? Now, I rewatched the halftime show, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, there's nobody out there, and we've talked about this on air before, there's nobody out there that attempted to live the Dr. Dre, Eminem, Snoop Dogg lifestyle more than your boy growing up. So it's not them. It's not the performers. That's not it. Because I was about that life, especially when 50 Cent came out. I was driving my 1991 Ford Probe, bumping Many Men, thinking people were out to kill me. There is no, right? I had two 10s in it. Come on. I'm telling you, okay. Bumping. All right. So that's not it. What I've realized, Trey, is I've gotten grouchy. And I think I owe perhaps you and some of the people that listen to the show a bit of an apology. For the last few weeks, maybe even months, I've been rather grouchy. I've been complaining a lot. I saw that performance. And admittedly, I don't believe that rap translates very well into live performances. I prefer rock or something live instrument. I don't think rap translates well to a live performance. I thought it was good, all things considered. But the result was, is everybody was saying it was the best halftime show ever, which put me past just enjoying it and being entertained to, I have to hate this now because I don't think it was the best one ever. So I immediately took the stance of, I hate this with all that I am. When in actuality, it was actually pretty good. It was pretty good. I just need people to not say this stuff's the greatest ever whenever it's not. It's not the greatest ever. That's all.
I'm not going to let you off that easy. I'm not going to let you ahead. I'm going to say, how dare you not just say that it wasn't good, but that say that Shakira and J-Lo's performance was exponentially better.
I'm going to remove that. I'll remove that. I will walk that back. I watched a ton of halftime shows in preparation for this. J-Lo, Shakira, not as good.
And by a bunch of the research you did was just the J-Lo and Shakira performance.
No, we watched.
I've done a lot of research in my day of that performance as well, Dale.
Yeah. Dude. What else you got? Come on, bring it.
You said I don't have anything more. I'm a little bit of a grouch because we're coming off what is a 500 record for UFC 271. But hey, for the performances that were done in the cage, relatively difficult.
No, we need to frame that in the right context. That's a 500 record on 22 bets. So yeah. We put out 22 bets, went 11-11, and two of the ones that we hit were mega plus money.
Right.
Tai Tuivasa round two was plus 1,000. And if you bet Kyler Murray by sub and sub alone, plus 550.
Solid.
I don't understand. So I have no qualms about our performance on Saturday.
I'm kind of like that guy though, Dale, that like, you know, I'm like a billboard, dude. Like I want to be the guy that drives around in the Tesla. Like I don't want to be the guy that's uber rich and driving around a Prius. What you're telling me right there is I'm the guy that's doing really well, but I'm driving a Prius. No, I want the record to speak for itself. I want myself, me some Tesla. I want some Elon in my life.
You want some sparkling water is what you want.
I'm just that much better than everyone.
Right. So I'm a tap water guy. You're a sparkling water guy. Okay. It makes sense. Sorry, let me ask you this before we get away from the Super Bowl thing. You thought that that performance was good.
Yes.
Okay. I thought it was good as well. After rewatching, I thought it was good. Do I think it was the best one ever? No. No. And part of that disappointment came from the fact that Tupac did not show up.
Yeah, which thank you for that. Do you want to explain to the listeners what you did to my wallet with that little thing?
I didn't know you were going to bet people on this. I didn't say put money on it. I just told you what I was thinking. What I was thinking was that Tupac was going to come back. And this is why I thought it made sense. So February is the second month of the year. That's a two. Then it's 2022. That's two. That's three twos. Two, two, two. So that equals six. Bengals preseason odds to win the Super Bowl, 199 to 1. 199 plus the six from the 222 is 1996, which is the year that Tupac was killed. Dr. Dre, Snoop, L.A., Tupac comes back. And this is how I envision it in my mind. They were going to come out. They're going to play California Love. Dr. Dre was going to do his first verse. And then everybody, because the, how Super Bowl concerts go, they were going to rotate to the next song fairly quickly. This, the perfect entry point for that would be the second verse of California Love, which was Tupac's verse. Dr. Dre comes out, does California Love. I am with bated breath waiting for Tupac to come out, because if Tupac comes out, the Super Bowl's canceled. Everything's canceled. We, the whole, the arena, they rush the field, everything, everything unfolds after that, right?
Yeah.
Obviously Tupac does not come out. So I'm upset, right? So I already hate this performance even more. Then
yeah.
Dr. Dre sits down to the sits down at the piano and he plays the intro to "I Ain't Mad at You."
And then I got mad at you.
And then I'm like, "Oh my goodness, it's about to go down. He's going to come out." Now, I thought that Eminem was kneeling because the king in Tupac was about to come out. Right? That's what I thought was going on. I didn't realize that this was some pseudo leftist social justice warrior thing where Dr. Dre is playing "I Ain't Mad at You" while the white guy behind him kneels on the ground, being symbolic of the racial tension in our country today. That's not what I thought was happening. I thought that they were just playing a song and Tupac was going to come out. I didn't realize there was some performance art taking place. And then I was doubly mad. I was really mad. And then I got online and everybody on Twitter was saying it's the greatest show ever. Then I got triple mad. Then I posted on our Instagram. Everybody got mad after that. You know, it is what it is at this point.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, you forgot to tell the listeners also that you told me that through these dark web, mm-hmm. like Reddit yep. threads, that the overwhelming majority believed that Tupac was going to come back. So I was like, well, Dale knows where those threads are. I don't even know how to access Reddit.
Right.
So I hit up two of my buddies that are big gamblers. And I said, dude, you know what? Let me throw some cash down on this. They thought I was nuts. I said, you guys just wait. Venmo'd later. Done.
I never asked you to do that. I never asked you.
You did, but you didn't.
I did, but I didn't. But listen, if in this case, we might as well fall down into like the Antarctica colony that exists, and you know, but we're not going to get there. All right. So do you want to break down fights or no?
Let's do it.
Oh, let's talk about 271 real quick, because this is a thin card, right? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about 271 real quick. Let's do a couple things. One, main event, Israel Adesanya versus Bobby Knuckles. We were on Bobby Knuckles. Do you think, because there is some disparity in what people think here, do you think Bobby Knuckles won that fight? Admittedly, we were on the betting side of Bobby Knuckles, but do you think that Bobby Knuckles won that fight?
I don't. I do not. But I know. I do not.
Okay.
But I also think that, and Michael Chandler said it great, you renegotiate your contract, you fight like that, you don't deserve the win in what Izzy did. You don't deserve it. I will say Robert Whittaker's fighting style, that kind of like sword jab thing he does, doesn't look very pretty, but it's active, it's touching, it's points, versus Izzy's very technical striking, much more devastating, lands a more punch. This is where my issue is. I think the more active fighter in 3, 4, and 5, Robert Whittaker, did he lose the first round seemingly almost like a 10-8? Absolutely. So he was digging himself a hole the first round. Yes. He dug himself a massive hole. He picked it up, which, you know, Robert Whittaker does. But yeah, man, no, I think that I don't believe in the whole mantra of you got to, you know, be the champ, or what is it? Beat the champ to beat the champ, or whatever that bullshit right. is. What is that?
If you want to be the champ, you got to beat the champ or whatever. Yeah. There's 100 different ways that it's said, but it remains the same. They make like you want a big decisive knockout or whatever the case may be.
Yeah. But Izzy's performance was absolute dog shit.
I think So one of the things that's always cool about title fights is that Conor McGregor and John Jones always feel the need to tweet about everything.
Yeah.
This was John Jones' perfect opportunity to tweet. Like, if you were ever John Jones and you wanted to poke at Izzy, this is how you do it. Because what Izzy has shown us with this fight is that he has adopted the John Jones title defense mentality, yeah, where he is going to stand out there just outside of range, and he's going to lead open hand, try to find the straight behind it or flick the jab, and he's going to do, he's going to kick your legs. That's it. That's it. And he will literally pressure you just enough that when you come forward, he backs up, hands extended, fingers out. Then he presses forward, tries to find the straight, will flick the jab when need be, kick the legs. And then maybe three times throughout the round, he'll have one, three, or four strike combo, just enough to do the visuals to make it look like he's inflicting damage. There's no denying he dropped Robert Whittaker at the end of round one, which I don't think constitutes a 10-8 because it was right at the end of the round. So I disagree with that. I think that he won round one. I think round two was pretty close. And I thought three was more Izzy, but I thought four and five, you could make an argument as being Whittaker rounds. And when you have that many close rounds, it genuinely is like flipping a coin where it could end 50-50 or, you know, it could end heads four times in a row if need be. And I think maybe that's what we happen to see here. I really believe that on any given night, on any three judges you that rescore that card, some would score it for Robert Whittaker. I just think we got the 48-47. I'm not mad at 48-47. I wasn't mad at that card for Izzy because it could have been 48-47 Whittaker. 49-46 is ridiculous. You mean to tell me that of all those rounds, of all of them, you're only going to give Whittaker one? One? Come
it's,
on.
It's a detriment it hurts Izzy more than it helps Izzy. Yes, he defended a title, but going forward, the pay-per-views are going to drop significantly because of the type of fight he's putting out there. He learned from his mistakes. When he fought Kelvin Gastelum, he was in a firefight. He was standing in a phone booth, and they were actually trading. When he fought Yoel Romero, he did the exact same thing, from distance, open palm. When he fought Robert Whittaker, same exact thing. That style's boring. That's why, to be honest, John Jones, Dana White can kind of give a shit what he does because – he's not that exciting of a fighter. He knows exactly what he needs to do to get the job done. And at the end of the day, that's not fireworks.
They're both amazing martial artists. Like, I can't take anything away from John Jones. He's a cheater. He's a scumbag human being, but he's a fantastic fighter. Yeah. Right. Izzy, I don't particularly care for his personality. He talks in sound bites. It's just not my speed, but I see why people like him. I don't even dislike him. He's just not 100% like my kind of guy. But he's a good champ. He's active, which I love for a champ. And, you know, he's a great martial artist, but you're right. He's not going to sell moving forward. And to be honest with you, I think we need to have a real conversation about the state of the middleweight division because it's Izzy, Robert Whittaker, and then everybody else is so far behind. You can't really convince me to care about anything else. Cannoneer is it beat Derek Brunson, which admittedly we probably should have rotated off of the Derek Brunson play when Derek went out and said that he only wanted to fight two more times. When you're already thinking about retirement, you got to let it go. You're not worth betting on. But even then, Brunson almost finished him in round one.
Yeah.
I think Adesanya beats Cannoneer with relative ease. And I think it's another 5-round snooze fest. Mm-hmm. And then there's nobody else after that because I think Strickland gets screwed up by anybody. I think Whittaker washes Strickland. I think Izzy washes Strickland. I think Cannoneer probably would even if he could crack him. You know, it's Izzy and Whittaker and nobody else is close. It's a thin. At one point in time, it looked really thick and now it's not. Matt says Khamzat. If he comes up to 185, if he comes up to 185, sure. But we got to see more. The Gilbert Burns fight will be a great test. If he goes out there and washes Burns, I'm on the Khamzat train.
Mm, still doesn't tell me much. Guys have won 55er, but yeah. Oh,
that's a good point too. That's a good point too. All right. Andrade Morozov was the best to watch, in my opinion, says Logan. Agreed. I agree. That was one I texted you about immediately after, because we've bet on Douglas Da Silva de Andrade before, and I just went Caucus Mountain Warrior, dead animal hat, you know. I see Kazakhstan, and I'm like, yeah, yeah.
Hey, this is a good fight to talk about for a quick second, because the one thing I could not stand about UFC 271 was now we've gotten, especially in Texas. Texas has been known for the big bonus checks.
Yeah.
The thing I could not stand, I understand fire pay is a big issue right now.
Right.
But every single fighter that put on a good performance, they did their job, gave a sob story, a long narrative about their life, why they need it, where the money's going, how it's going to be spent, in hopes that Dana White's going to up their pay. I'm not here for the freaking notebook story, dude. I'm here for them to put on a performance, settle what the bonus pay is going to be before it, tell fighters they cannot fucking scream about, you know, oh, it's going to my daughter's health bills, or it's going to, no, dude, I don't need to hear their story. Ooh. I'm here to watch a fight, man. Like, if I want to watch a documentary, let's watch the documentary. I'm here to watch a fight.
Wow.
Hot take, dude.
Dude.
Sparkling water's got me all bubbly.
I tell you what, man, bubbles went to your brain, bro. What are you talking about?
Do you agree?
No, I don't at all. Oh,
shit. Okay.
I disagree at all. I think they need to beat the drum as much as they possibly can. The profit to pay ratio for the UFC is different, and MMA is, that disparity is wider than any other professional sport. It's wider than any other professional sport, what the company makes versus what it pays its athletes. They need to beat the drum more. These people need pay better, and they've got to get rid of the show and win bonus. It needs to be a flat rate. I think I was talking to James from Strictly MMA, and I was telling him, I think if they just gave everybody a 30% increase across the board, you'd get a lot of people to shut up. If it went from 50 to show and 50 to win, and I paid you a flat 80 to show up, I think you'd be happier with that. The other thing you could do too, and just hear me out on this, you could allow people to bring back their fucking sponsors, because what I loved is that the UFC said no more sponsors and then covered every square inch of the octagon in sponsors. And then they have these fighters fighting in fight kits wearing sponsors that don't pay them, but peanuts. So I'm going to give you guys, I'll give you guys a sneak peek behind the curtain, right? And he doesn't fight anymore, so I don't think he listens to the show, so I don't think he'll care, but maybe he will. I don't know. Jordan Johnson, who fought in the UFC for four fights, went undefeated in the UFC for four fights, and then went to PFL and then fought in the PFL finale against Emiliano Sordi and lost. He's sponsored by Stay Classy Meats as well. We reached out to Jordan and asked him what it would take to get the Punchless logo on his shirt, shorts, anything, right? Now, he had about 5 to 10 spots on his. Now, this is going to ESPN, primetime, PFL, final, $15,000 to put our logo. Now, put that in the UFC, put that in pay-per-view, put that on the banner, the shorts, whatever the case may be. And you see why, when you rewind and listen to these guys talk, these guys and girls talk, they were getting paid 50, 75, 100 grand from these places. They were making more money in sponsors than they were making in fighting. Those guys would walk out, girls would walk out, they'd make $500,000 with what they were wearing, and then only get paid 50 for the fight. But they were making money.
Yeah.
UFC said, here's your 50 and 50, and then we're going to pay you $4,000 to wear this crypto.com crap, and then we're going to cover our octagon and ads from everything from Uncle Lou's lip balm to, you know, Howlerhead whiskey, which is owned by Dana White. So all he's doing is using his own platform for free advertising, which is ridiculous. And there goes my chance at getting hired at the UFC.
It's done. It's over. It's over.
So long story short, I wish they would cry more about pay. Squeaky wheel gets the grease, bro. Cry. Let me see
that's
some
not,
tears.
That's not true in grocery stores, dude, because they all have a squeaky wheel.
Bring your kid into the cage. Bring your sick nana into the cage. Wheel her in. Wheeler, and bring your dog that has the wheelchair, like with the two wheels in the back. Bring him in the cage. I want all that. Drive your Subaru Outback with the wheels falling off. Drive it right up to the side of the cage. That's what I want. I want all that. All right, we've got Jamahal Hill versus Johnny Walker on Saturday, which is the main event. I never knew. I never wanted. Oh, Doug Machado says dynamic fastener. Shout out to an OG sponsor, bro. Dynamic fastener. What? Hold on. Oh, name another one. Full contact fighter. Remember Full Contact Fighter?
No, I remember. Remember the MMA brand Jesus Didn't Tap. Do you remember that?
Yep,
that was old school.
Yeah. Full Contact Fighter. That's like Matt Hughes, Pat Miletich. It had like the NBA logo, but it was
red, white, and blue.
Yeah. Condom Depot. Oh yes, Condom Depot is another good one. Another good one. Oh my gosh, I love it. What was the how about Mickey's? Remember when Mickey's the malt liquor?
40?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Mickey's was a good one. One more round. Oh man, I love this. Doug, you're a man after my own heart, man. Just keep talking about old stuff, please. Please. I love it. All right. The main event we never knew, we never wanted. Jamahal Hill taking on Johnny Walker this weekend, Trey. We've got a lot of injuries on the card. A lot of stuff's been shuffled around, but we'll try to do the best we can. So first fight on the main card, Joaquin Buckley at 13-4, taking on Abdul Razak Al-Hassan. For a long time, we did the Al-Hassan or Al-Hassan thing, but it is Al-Hassan. So Al-Hassan's plus 120, Joaquin Buckley minus 150, over on rounds is at 1.5. We don't have the fancy scroll thing because producer Jake's not here. So it's just us cavemen thumbing the keys. So you're going to get a more basic show. I'll let you go first this time, man. What you got?
I feel like we were kind of on Al-Hassan in his last fight. I mean, we were a little bit skittish because of his time outside the cage. Hadn't fought for what, two years because of the legal issues?
No. He came back. That was a while ago. That Nico Price fight was 2018. Then he was gone and he came back. And then lost
Alessio de Chirico and knocked him out in round one.
No, there was three fights that happened in between there. Damage? Literally came back from Nico Price, fought Manir Lazez in Abu Dhabi and lost. then lost to Chaos Williams. He got knocked out like in the first 30 seconds of the fight. Then he lost to Jacob Malkoon by wrestle death. And then he knocked out Alessio de Chirico.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, so this is the show prep, dude. This is what we talk about.
I'm glad you did some show prep for this one.
This is good. I'm not on the Joaquin Buckley. I don't understand why he's getting minus 150, though. I'll say that. He's got good boxing, flashy, you know, whatever. But he's cocky, dude. And he's had his moment in the sun, but he's been falling ever since. I like inside the distance for this fight. I think that Abdul is someone that he can level change. We saw that in Alessio de Chirico. He was able to utilize his leg kicks. He's mixed it up with the body. So I think he's going to present a lot of issues. When you watch Joaquin Buckley fight, he's not someone that's overtly aggressive. We're all like enamored by his highlight reels, but he's someone that like he's patient. He waits, he selects his shots. And then when he gets behind, you know, in points, you know, in the round two and three, he starts to explode forward a little bit. But I think Abdul Razak, he's going to rush in. He's going to take advantage, much like he did in the de Chirico fight in round one. I like inside the distance because I think that round one engagement is going to catch Joaquin Buckley a little bit off guard. He's going to ditch his game plan. It's going to be two Rams clashing into each other. Rams, Super Bowl champs. What's up? I hate the Rams, but I'm going to go Al-Hassan money line. I like inside the distance, though, more than anything.
So MMA math would say that ARA or Ara or Al-Hassan would win this fight. De Chirico beat Buckley, Al-Hassan beat De Chirico. So MMA math says that Al-Hassan wins this fight. A couple things that concern me if I'm on Al-Hassan are Joaquin Buckley's ability to extend combinations. He does a very good job at throwing 3-4 punches. You know, one and three will be off speed, two and four, you know, will be lightning fast or whatever the case may be. He does extend combinations, and he does have pretty decent hands. My thing is, though, is that he puts himself in the position to be in a firefight, and he gets cracked. Like, he gets touched no matter who it is that he's fighting. He does get touched. He got touched in the Ahoyo fight. He got touched in the Jordan Wright fight, obviously the Impa fight. But I mean, we saw with Kevin Holland, like, he was literally willing to stand there and bite down on the mouthpiece and swing. Can't do that against a guy like Ahasan. I wouldn't be surprised to see Buckley try to implement some wrestling here. Not something that we particularly see a lot out of him, but nobody really wants to stand in front of Ahasan. That's not really a game plan for success. I like Ahasan at the plus money here. I think that's a good play. I'm for it just on MMA math alone. Inside the distance is probably going to be closer to the minus 300 range, minus 325. You might want to look at that as a parlay. Wouldn't touch the over under on rounds because you have no idea what these guys are going to do. Sometimes when you expect fireworks, you get two people that are scared. You might get a more measured approach out of both these gentlemen on Saturday. But I'll take Ahasan at the plus money just because I think it's good value. You don't see him at plus money all that often. So I'll go ahead and take the value play there. And I also hate that Joaquin Buckley is a gym gypsy. He literally migrates from gym to gym. He doesn't appear to have a resting place that he calls his own. So yeah, I don't like that either.
He should go to Glory. What?
What? I'm be honest with you. I think he would fuck up James Krause. Ah. I mean, there's a hot take for you. I think he would. I think James Krause isn't physically strong enough to deal with Joaquin Buckley. All right, Jim Miller taking on Nicholas Mata. Mata at 12-3. Jim Miller at 33-16. And Trey.
Oh, God, here we go.
I say it every time. Who has the best nickname in all of MMA?
Jim Miller.
You're damn right he does. A-10. Jim A-10 Miller. Hold on. In a chat, it says, we're going to talk about how James Krause is overrated AF. We'll throw it on at the end of the show. Because, yes, I would love – how much time – how long do you want this episode to be? Because I got time.
It's in every episode. Just download any episode we've ever had. Dale pretty much says it every single time.
All right. Man. So Jim Miller, Jim A-10 Miller, +150 taking on Nicholas Mata at -160, overrunner around at 2.5. And you can't tell me not to bet Jim Miller here. You can't tell me.
Are you betting
him?
You
can say it, but I'm like, huh?
Well, are you betting him because of the momentum he's coming off or just him as an actual fighter?
I am betting Jim Miller because he has lost more fights than Nicholas Mata has total in experience. Jim Miller also, is he not number one on the list of most fights under the Zuffa promotion all time? Yeah.
So he's
been fighting high level competition for how long? No, right? Yes. Yes. So when Jim Miller made his professional debut, your boy Nicholas Mata was still in high school. Mm-hmm. Not even in high school, but like primary school. You know what I mean? Like super long ago. Jim Miller is a grown man with grown man dad strength who's been fighting the best of the best for coming up on 20 years now. Literally coming up on 20 years in the fight game. It's unheard of. It's unheralded. Jim Miller is a certified Hall of Famer. He beats Mata. He beats Mata. Anywhere he wants him, he beats it.
I agree, but I'm going to play devil's advocate just so people can understand if they want to lay on Mata. Mata, while he's only been around for a minute, he's been around the block, dude. He was on the Ultimate Fighter. He lost to the guy that eventually won the Ultimate Fighter. Then he got kicked off, went to the regional scene, cut his teeth there. Then he went on Dana White Contender Series. Kind of lackluster performance there. But, dude, he's around. He's been around. He's fought a bunch of people. I think Jim Miller – the question is, when I said, are you betting on him just because of the fighter or the momentum? Dude, yes, he murdered his last opponent, murdered him. But the last opponent whose name is completely evading me right now.
For who, Jim Miller?
Yeah, it was an absolute scrub.
Eric Gonzalez, what's up with your internet right now? Why do you sound, are you in Russia? What's going on? You in the Ukraine?
No, don't you dare. Don't you dare. Am I out? Am I in?
You're good. It's just, it looks like you're recording on a potato.
I could be. I could be. Okay. If you're going to play Jim Miller, always play him in round one. People talk about, you know, him and his Lyme disease and seeing that he's not very good in round two and three. Play him by round one. I don't see him putting Mata out. I think that he's going to do it by submission, if anything. Plus 150 is a good price to take a money line, though. But, I don't want to argue about Jim Miller right now in his hands. He beat a fucking scrub in his last go who was not even UFC caliber and knocked him out. Big freaking deal. Jim Miller is a submission artist. That's it.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Do you not agree with that? You agree with that statement.
I don't agree with the round one assessment. I agree with the fact that the only people that have beat Jim Miller are Ben Henderson, Nate Diaz, Beneil, Dan Hooker, Anthony Pettis, Dustin Poirier, Charles Oliveira, Vince Pichel, Joe Selecki.
Yeah, and tell me how all those people won. It was probably in round two or round three because the dude has no cardio because of Lyme disease after the first round.
Big on that Lyme disease thing, man. Golly, big.
Have you had Lyme disease?
I've never had Lyme disease. No. It's not something I'm familiar with.
Okay.
I do have the wife check me for ticks every time I come in from being out in the woods, though.
I don't get it. I don't get what? It.
What? Do you know what a tick is? Do you have ticks in California?
No.
Do you know what a tick is?
Yeah, it's like a flea.
No, it's way worse than a flea. So it's basically like this little triangle-shaped alien that burrows into your skin and feeds off of your blood until it gets too fat and pustulant to do so. Then it falls out. But in the process, while it's buried headfirst into your body with its ass in the air, it's injecting your body with poison to not only make your blood more palatable, but also just spread every disease known to man. And they're very... they're found quite frequently throughout the woods of basically the entire world, except I guess you don't have any forest in San Diego, so it's not really a thing you have to deal with.
Do you guys not have an HOA out there?
We have an HOA.
Do
they
not take care of that?
No. You can't do anything about ticks, man. You can't do anything about them. You got to get tweezers. You got to get Vaseline. You got to suffocate them and then pull them out. It's a mess. It's a mess.
And I'm sorry. You think that I'm in Russia or Ukraine right now? Okay, dude. Okay.
I just don't understand how you don't know what a tick is.
I don't live in Russia or Ukraine.
This is definitely not the case. Sparkling water, deer ticks. All right, here we go.
Oh, and he's out. All right. So you know what that means? That means it's entree to keep this episode going. That could be an absolute issue. What a liability. Oh, and he's back.
What's happening now? Why is this all messed up? What did you do? I don't know. There we go.
Where's producer Jake, dude?
Dude, this is a nightmare. Absolute nightmare without Jake here. Right. I hate this. And the momentum is gone because I don't know what happened to my thing. It just literally disappeared. Everything's gone. What did you do?
I don't know. You said Russia and Ukraine too many times and they shut us down, dude.
Parker Porter, 12-6, taking on Alan Badeau at 8-2. 8-2 on that Alan Badeau. Parker Porter coming back. -255, +200 on Alan Badeau. Over and around is at 1.5. Go ahead. I want to hear. I know you've got 15 minutes worth of body shaming lined up for Parker Porter here. So just go ahead and let it rip.
Yeah. This is the guy that you don't want to take to the beach, guys. This is a guy that wears a rash guard to the beach for sure. Definitely wears socks with his sandals. I mean, this is ultimate dad mode right here. If you want to make it to the UFC and you don't really want to put any effort whatsoever into your cardio, jump on an elliptical, you are a Parker Porter. But Parker Porter's made a little bit of name for himself here for someone that is obtuse, someone that looks like Mr. Bump. Is a full-on circle, jiggly belly. This guy has a ton of volume. So I don't really understand with all that volume he throws why it's not slimming down. But whatever, dude. That's his own thing. Got a lot of volume, runs forward, cool. The issue is he doesn't like to be hit. And he doesn't do very well in close quarters. Well, what's Alan Badeau going to do? Alan Badeau is a judo guy. He's going to clinch up against the cage. He's going to wear on you pretty heavy. That judo... He's going to get it down to the ground. The one thing I'm worried about is I don't think Pinto is that good. But if he can get him down and hold like a side control and just keep Parker Porter down, he's good. If Parker Porter takes that jiggly belly and reverses it and lays on top of him, what we've seen with Parker Porter on top is pretty gnarly. He's good when he's on top. He can't get it down, but if he slips on the banana peel and lands on top, he's freaking good. This line is ridiculously wide. Am I really going to play minus 255 on Parker Porter? No way.
You're wild. Parker Porter is close to being the lock of the night.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. Alan Badeau is awful. It's not so much about how good Parker Porter is. It's how bad is Alan Badeau. And he is bad. Like, he's real bad. I mean, I understand that, like, he can say that he's, a professional athlete and all that, and he's fighting for the biggest promotion in the world, but it's largely because he's French and he must know somebody, because this stint inside the UFC is short-lived. Parker Porter is going to just butcher him on Saturday night. This is all – I'm not going to throw the L word out there, but this is as close to it as you're going to get.
I refuse to lay money on Parker Porter. If anything, I like the over 1.5. Hey, Parker Porter is a piece of shit. Logan, yes, thank you. But dude, guess who Alan Badeau is getting reps in with?
Who?
Cyril Gane.
Who just lost, so get away from me. I don't care. I don't care.
Over 1.5.
Butchered. Butchered. Parker Porter's screwing him up, dude. Parker,
he's not putting anyone
have out. You seen the legs on Parker Porter?
Yeah.
Let's talk about something real quick. Okay. So my assessment of this fight, 100% top to bottom, Parker Porter and Parker Porter inside the distance. Murder. Alan Badeau, not UFC quality. It's over with. I want to talk about Parker Porter's body here for a second. His legs have got to be the thickest in the UFC.
Thick boy summer?
Like, not even – so, like, normally legs that are that thick – are like on that old lady at Walmart or Target that, like, she's got the socks on. She got the socks on the Rascal. Yeah. And it just looks like the skin's so tight it's going to explode. You know what I'm talking about? That's how his calves look. And then I don't understand, like, they almost have to give him one of, like, the skirts, like the women's skirts, like, that it's free-flowing in the middle so that with his thighs. I don't understand, and this is just me thinking out loud here. I don't understand how a man that large with legs like that keeps himself clean. Like, ooh. Like, well, I'm not saying he's dirty.
You think he has ticks?
No, I don't think he has ticks. I'm saying, like, you sit on a normal toilet seat, right?
Opposed to?
Well, I don't know if you have, like, a bidet or, like, you have a thing, like, where you, like, shit in, like, a salt pool and it whisks it away and then it brings it back. I don't know what you do.
That is a California thing. Yep, right, yeah. Yep.
I don't know. You guys have, like, Roman aqueducts. You just go outside and rifle one off and it just whisks it away to the beach. I don't know what you do, okay? It's California.
Yeah.
I'm here with regular plumbing. I don't drink sparkling water. How does Parker Porter fit that body on a normal toilet? How's that possible?
He goes to the bathtub.
He has to. There's no way that body sits on a standard size toilet and rifles one out unless he opens himself up like a crane and then sits down on the toilet because his legs are so thick.
Yeah.
He has to. I've never seen a human being shaped like that before. It's unbelievable. It's a cartoon character. Leg kicks, though. He does throw leg kicks.
Not very well.
And when he does, one of these times, that calf is just going to split open and you're just going to see meat fly out everywhere. That skin is so tight. The skin on his legs is so tight. It's just
chicken
diabetes.
Nuggets are going to fall out.
Diabetes everywhere. All right. I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
We're taking Parker Porter, I guess.
100% and inside the distance. Yeah, absolutely, Parker Porter. All right, co-main event, Kyle Daukaus taking on Jamie Pickett. Jamie Pickett at 13-6, Kyle Daukaus at 10-2. Initially, Trey, I'm inclined to bet against the Daukaus brother. You know this.
This is the better one. You can't do that.
I disagree. I think he's the worst one.
Oh, wow. Hot take.
Hot take. I think it is. Go ahead. I think Jamie Pickett's a live dog here at plus 200.
He's on short notice.
That's why I think he's a live dog. Jamie Pickett presents a lot of problems for Kyle Daukaus, right? And I want to let you go first, but now you've questioned me. So now
I questioned it.
Okay. Jamie Pickett's bigger. He's going to be physically stronger. He's got a hell of a reach advantage, and he's a good athlete. If Jamie Pickett, I really believe if Jamie Pickett under the right tutelage, with the right progression, could be fairly decent. There's some things that he does that I don't like exit every combination with his chin touching the ceiling, like freaking James Vick. And he throws a lot of like weird, you know, arm muscle or like shoulder and arm punches. He doesn't necessarily have good technique in that regard, but I don't know, buddy. I think Jamie Pickett's a live dog here at plus 200. I know everybody loves the Dawkus brothers, but the other Dawkus just got slept by Derek Lewis. Losing is contagious. Losing is contagious.
I don't like Jamie Pickett's style in contrast to Kyle Dawkus. And I say that because Jamie Pickett's someone that like he can tie up fighters and elongate fights. Yeah. And if you're tying someone up and wearing them up against the cage and you're going against someone who's jiu-jitsu and submissions are his thing, that's a very easy way to get an inside leg trip and get it down to the ground. Kyle Dawkus did struggle, though. He's not so – Kyle Dawkus, I will say, for a jiu-jitsu practitioner, horrible wrestling. Phil Haas exposed that to the highest level when he fought Kyle Dawkus. Phil Haas was able to get Kyle Dawkus down with ease. So he's not going to be the person, you know, shooting in, trying to get a double. He's going to hope that Jamie Pickett closes the distance. He's able to wrap it around and bring it down to the ground and try and find a submission. I like Kyle Dawkus by submission. I do like that play if you want to make that minus 255 a little bit sweeter. I like Jamie Pickett. I do like him in this fight because I think he is stronger than Kyle Dawkus, and he can tie it up and elongate the fight and maybe win by points. I like that. I don't think he's gonna win inside the distance, though. I don't think he's strong enough to put someone out like Kyle Dawkus. Kyle Dawkus is gonna slow the fight down. So is Jamie Pickett.
I don't necessarily know that inside the distance needs to be into consideration here. I think we need to have an honest conversation about the Dawkus brothers, though, especially Kyle Dawkus. He has three fights in the UFC. He lost to Brennan Allen and Phil Haas. His only win was a unanimous decision over Dustin Stoltzfus. So
Kevin Holland.
Did he beat Kevin Holland?
No, remember it was the headbutt?
Yeah, it was the headbutt, right, in round one. So that's not a fight.
He was winning it.
It's round one. It was a headbutt. We're done here. Like, that's, yeah. Like, we need to have a real conversation about this. This is not like some easily ascertained thing here. We haven't seen enough out of Kyle Dawkus beating people for you to feel confident. Really, I don't think you should feel confident him taking it and beating anybody until you see him put together some worthwhile wins. I just don't see it. I'm on Jamie Pickett at plus 200 here. You could play a prop on Kyle Dawkus by submission and keep it moving, man.
I like it.
Jonathan Kreger says, lowercase K, someone get Jake back.
I know. It's
for
so
those
bad.
Of you that are listening, the Kyle Dawkus ticker, I have a lowercase K. I am sorry. Producer Jake is at the, you know what? I'm not making an excuse for producer Jake anymore. He's not here tonight. It's us. You know, look to me. I am the captain now. Dude, bro, first of all, speaking of Somalis, how about the Blood Diamond thing? Bro, Blood Diamond, come on.
He's got to change his name.
All that hype. Listen, those are the spots that as somebody who bets MMA, I'm upset that I don't recognize the pattern and unload the bank account on it.
Right.
Like,
right.
I was so upset by that. I'm like, this guy's 3-0 in MMA. He was a kickboxer. And I'm like, he's going up against Jeremiah Wells, 9-2, and trains with Sean Brady. And I don't know what the strength and conditioning coach is at the Sean Brady gym, but Jeremiah Wells is shaped like Sean Brady. Is there something there that just makes you the shape of a Ninja Turtle? Like, is that what it is? Like, if you work out at Sean Brady's gym, you will be shaped like a Ninja Turtle.
Decadurbolin.
What?
Steroids.
Oh, what did you call it?
Deca, Durbin, Durbulin, Durbilo. I don't know.
That's a steroid?
Yeah. It's a masking one. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know about these things. So I was just asking. Yeah. Okay. You rattled that off like we were all supposed to know.
Equipoise, that one will shred you.
Equipoise? That sounds like it's made for horses.
It actually is. Gotcha. It dehydrates the horses. Yeah.
Why would you dehydrate a horse? That seems dangerous.
I might have that wrong.
Yeah.
I said that out loud and that did not make sense.
You don't want to dehydrate a horse because they're expensive and they die really easy. For being big animals, they're super easy to kill.
Oh, okay. Well, that's sad.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Okay. Anyway, Jeremiah Wells comes out and just destroys Blood Diamond. Like that's, we should have literally told people to murder that. I mean, that line, you know?
Yeah.
I guess maybe my concern is with all these things as I say that, and then Blood Diamond comes out and throws like some Fabrizio Verdum flying sidekick to Jeremiah Wells's face and kills him, you know, like that. And that, and you know, there's only,
yeah.
So I have PTSD in this regard, not to shortchange people that I have real PTSD from real traumatic incidents, but MMA betting PTSD, only a couple times in my life I've ever suggested unloading the bank. One of which was Elias Theodoro versus Derek Brunson.
Oh, that sounds like the most boring fight ever.
Which I thought Elias Theodoro would win, but instead he ran away for 15 minutes. And then Gregor Gillespie versus Kevin Lee.
Ugh.
Yep. Yep.
Ugh.
I've said this to you before. I've talked so much trash going into that fight, and we've had people like on Instagram live Q&As and stuff ask, what's the most money you've ever lost before? It's that.
There it is.
That's the one. The Kevin Lee versus Gregor Gillespie fight. It haunts me to this day. All right. Life main event body. Of the evening. Johnny Walker at 18-6 taking on Jamahal Hill at 9-1 here, Trey. -255 for Hill, +200 for Johnny Walker, over and around 1.5. I'm on Hill. I thought he looked good against Jimmy Crute. My concern is this. Carries his hands low, carries his chin high. Johnny Walker can touch him. He goes to sleep. But Johnny Walker has been so hit and miss for me, man. I don't know what to do with that guy. I don't know what to do. You get knocked out by Corey Anderson, it puts me on pause for the rest of your career.
Well, and that was the moment that he got scared. When Johnny Walker got bitch slapped and he got laid out, his game plan, the flashiness, the cockiness, the proud peacock in the cage, the flashy strikes went out the window. He got bitch slapped. He got scared. His game plan, the fighter who is Johnny Walker, has changed significantly since that moment. Jamahal Hill, way better cardio, way better output, moves around the cage super fast, doesn't have very good jiu-jitsu. But again, that was kind of put on notice with Bearju, who's all about jiu-jitsu. So yeah. I can't really say he has bad jiu-jitsu, but it was not of good level. But I think someone that's going to be a more well-rounded fighter who is going to be able to move around, present a bunch of different things. Johnny Walker does have that one punch knockout power. He has that long reach. He is scary. But if you look at the complete MMA fighter and you were to put your money somewhere, -255, I think is a fair price for someone who knows what state Johnny Walker's in right now.
Yeah, I mean, initially my reservation was that Hill's composition, physicality is going to be a problem for him. Johnny Walker could muscle him. But then I looked at who Hill fought, and he fought Darko Stosic, who, if you remember Darko before he left for KSW, just a muscle meatball. OSP not ripped, but OSP, one of the bigger 205ers out there, has fought several times at heavyweight. And then his last fight against Jimmy Crute. Jimmy Crute, big strong boy, which thoughts and prayers to Jimmy Crute. I don't know if you saw or not. Jimmy Crute out till basically forever now. Suffered, from what I understand, to be a devastating knee injury. They're talking about some point in 2023, maybe he comes back.
Ew.
And they're saying that in February 2022, that Jimmy Crute's out till at least the better part of next year.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So I can only imagine it was pretty bad.
I also don't like about Johnny Walker, SBG.
I don't know if he's still affiliated with them or not.
I think he is.
Is he? Okay.
And that's such a bummer. It's hard to say it from a Conor McGregor fan, but SPG is trash.
Yeah, you're one of the few Conor McGregor fans left, so I mean, you're just gonna have to let that ride.
Title shot coming in 2022.
I would agree with that. All right. Real quick, before we get into the prelims, if you guys haven't already done so, if you're watching the live stream, if you care at all, give it a thumbs up. Those of you that are in chat, appreciate you. If I haven't put you up on the screen yet, I will here soon. I want to touch on something real quick. We wrapped up the sale of the Hedge shirts. If you ordered a Punchlist Hedge shirt, you should have received it by now. If you haven't, message us, get with us offline, shoot us an email, whatever, and we will make it right if you haven't gotten it. But I want to talk about something, two things that happened this weekend. If you watched the ceremonial weigh-ins, you may have seen something that looked very familiar. Your boy John Anik walked out on stage and did the UFC 271 ceremonial weigh-ins wearing an Allegiance clothing t-shirt.
Sick.
Super sick. Very excited. Well, we were very pumped. So if we say, well, you know, if you want to wear this, any other, but if you want to wear shirts that even John Anik wears to the UFC 271 weigh-ins, you go to allegianceclothing.com, use promo code, punch, and save 15% off site-wide. Now, with the sale of the Hedge t-shirts that we had, that sale went great. But we put that sale out, and at the culmination of that sale was a natural disaster that hit in the, was it Kentucky, Tennessee, Missouri? That whole pipeline right there got hit by tornadoes, right?
Yeah.
Trey? Okay.
Yeah.
So our response to that was, is we said, let's take the proceeds from the shirts, and instead of paying us, let's donate all of it. So we reached out to Roy at Allegiance Clothing and said, hey, this is what we want to do. And he said, cool, we'll make it happen. So for the sake of full transparency, and we'll post it on our socials as well, we donated at the end of everything. We ended up Punchlist MMA and Allegiance together. And you guys, we ended up donating, what was it, $680?
Mm-hmm.
$680 to the Red Cross in Kentucky to help with the tornado relief efforts. So cheers to you guys. That's, you know, we're not a huge podcast, but that's a decent chunk of change. I think $680 is pretty decent.
Yeah. You guys know that you're wearing not only a cool shirt, but they went to a worthy cause. So, I mean, gosh, I looked at imagery to see how it's been. What's that been post 4 weeks or 5 weeks now? Mm-hmm. And it's still pretty bad over there. So happy to help.
Yeah, everything's, I mean, whole towns just disappeared. So, but yeah, thanks to you guys. And the, like I said, the sales of the shirt, $680 going to the Red Cross in Kentucky. So cheers to you. I'm not drinking a beer tonight, but if I was, we would slam a beer to that. So, all right, we'll keep it moving. First prelim of the night, Jesse Strader at 5-2, taking on Chad Anheliger. I believe that's how you say it. I had to go back and try to find it, and I couldn't. So Anheliger taking on Strader. Anheliger's at 11-5. He's -255 here versus Jesse Strader at +200 over on rounds here. Trey's at 2.5. And this concerns me because I love Anheliger in the spot almost so much that he's one of my most confident plays of the night. And I'm afraid because it's going to be Apex, and I don't want Chris Tognoni to touch him. I don't want him to touch him for sure. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to build a safety net here, and I'm just going to take him money line at a decent play, and I'm not going to put him in a parlay.
Because
if I put him in a parlay, most assuredly, Chris Tognoni will be the first referee, and he'll screw this up for me.
Okay. I'm most interested actually in the over under here. I love the under 2.5.
Yeah, I think it's a good play.
Jesse Strader is a killer be killed type fighter. He's someone that comes in. He's actually fought good competition. I mean, stemming from last week, dude, he lost to Marcelo Rojo. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's fought really good competition. He's poor management. He gets a moment in the sun and then he just gets thrown out to the wolves. Chad is someone who's a very smart fighter, great fight IQ. I think he's going to be met with someone that's just like, fuck it, let's just throw the kitchen sink at this thing, and that's going to be Jesse Strader. Chad's got a little bit to prove. I mean, yes, he came in from Dana White Contender Series, but it wasn't a very devastating win. It was a split decision to get him in. So he still has stuff to prove. You know, we're back in the apex. The big boss is watching. You got someone that's going to come in there and try and make fireworks. So I like under 2.5 here. I think that that's going to pose a lot, the apex within itself.
Cool. Yeah. I'm going to take Analyzer here. Just based body composition wise, presents a lot of the same looks that Montel Jackson did from a length and distance perspective. And Montel slept straighter. So I'm on Chad here. I'm on Chad big time. So I just don't want to unload until I shake this Chris Tognoni thing. I've got to figure out a way. I don't know if I got to burn some sage or something. I got to get away from this guy. I need away from
there. Were some new refs at 271 that I wasn't familiar with. I was like, whoa, who's this new class?
Oh, speaking of which, shout out to Kerry Hatley coming back. Where on earth did they find Kerry Hatley at? Does he just live in Texas and they just, whenever they're in Texas, they bring him out?
Yeah.
I love that dude. Love that. That's an OG, you like drinking beer in between fights referee.
Yeah.
Shout out to Kerry Hatley.
Smoking some cigs, dude.
Smoking cigs, right. All right. Diana Belbita taking on Gloria DePaula. Diana Belbita at 14-6, Gloria DePaula at 5-4. Now. All right, let's just get this out of the way now. Both of these ladies are pretty. Let's just say it, okay? This is a pick'em fight. Over on around is at 2.5. Gloria DePaula has a record of 5-4. Just, it's about to be 5-5. I don't know how you don't take Belbita here. Belbita.
It's funny you say that they're both good looking. I actually think Belbita beat someone who's much better looking than her.
I didn't say it's not a comparison. It's not in comparison to somebody else. I'm just saying, like, if you're looking at both, like, when you, I don't know, because
Anna Goldie's a fox.
I don't want to be mean, but there are other ladies that are less attractive that fight.
That's fair.
So, but I think realistically, this is matchmaking of, I don't understand how Gloria DePaula is in the UFC. I'll say that. I don't understand how she's here. I know that the promotion as a whole is not opposed to having women with damn near 500 or sub 500 records in there, but she won on the Contender Series against Pauline Macias and then got beat handedly by Jin Yufrei and then got knocked out by Cheyenne Bays. Well, it was Bays at the time, but now it's Vlismas. No. Was it? I don't know if it was switched or not. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Cheyenne head kicked. Lost to Ariana Carnelosi. I don't see why she's here, to be honest with you.
Because she throws.
Yeah.
She throws. Yeah. And I think Belbita, yes, she's going to be more technically sound, but she's also a moron when she fights.
Whoa.
I'll say it. She's someone, she's one of those people that you do tape study before the fight. Oh, that person's good at jiu-jitsu. I'm going to try and keep this thing standing. Belbita is like, oh, you're good at jiu-jitsu? Let me just dive on into your guard right here. Let's just get into half guard. You guys do your work. She is just no fight IQ. She's going to be more technically sound, but she just, wherever the fight wants to go, she will go with it. DePaula will just throw. So I was on DePaula when she was at plus money because, one, women's science, but then, two, you know, it's a women's fight. Someone can get clipped. I'd take it all day long, but now it's pick them. Yeah, I'll go with someone that's had better quality competition. Someone's a little bit more technically sound, and maybe she did some tape study. So I'm on Belbita.
Come on, Belbita. It doesn't even have to be as in-depth as what you said. I just think she's a better fighter with more experience. I don't know.
It's a nice way to say it.
I'm trying to be – listen, I told what I led the show with. I've been a grouch lately. I got to be nicer. All right, Chaz Skelly at 18-3 taking on Mark Striegel at 18-3. Identical records. I think the only difference here, Chaz Skelly being the minus 200 favorite to Striegel coming back at plus 160 over on rounds at 2.5. I think that the comeback here is, if I'm not mistaken, is this Chaz Skelly's retirement fight?
It is. He just said it too. I was like, dude, why did you say it?
Normally, you know me, I'm all about the scrapper. Chaz the scrapper. I love the scrapper Skelly. I really do. I really do. I'm inclined to bet Striegel here though, because retirement's 1 foot out the door. I don't know here. I don't know. Minus 200 is just enough to convince you to bet bigger than you normally would so you get that good ROI. But the fight is actually, in all actuality, closer than the line would dictate. So you end up eating one or two of these. You're going to eat a minus 200 if you unload on it sometimes.
You can't. There's nothing that warrants the minus 200, dude. He hasn't fought in like 3 years. And people think that, like, oh no, I saw a Skelly fight. No, you saw him stand in an octagon alone while Jamal Emmers was fainting in the background. Like, he literally walked into an octagon and sat there and his opponent didn't show up. Mm-hmm. He has not fought in like 2 years. Yeah. People talk about Skelly having amazing jiu-jitsu. He does. He's deadly on the ground. Mark Striegel, though, is no slouch. And actually, his type of jiu-jitsu is hardcore. He's one of those, like, explosion dudes. Like, he'll be in half guard and he will somehow launch himself forward and land an elbow in your face. He's got good submissions. He's deadly in a guard. Like, I wouldn't say if this thing goes to the ground, it's not Chaz Skelly's fight to win. Like, it's a toss-up, I would almost say. I love Striegel in this fight. I think he has fought. He has the jiu-jitsu. We're in a good spot here.
And it's a retirement fight. Gosh,
like, why can we not pick plus 160?
Yeah, I think you're right. It seems against my nature. It seems against my nature to bet against Chaz Skelly. But okay.
All right. Yeah. I won.
You got one, man. Congratulations. You got one. Got one. All right. I'm just going to let you have this one. Jessica Rose Clark taking on Stephanie Egger. Egger at 6-2. Jessica Rose Clark at 11-6. Stephanie Egger's plus 15. Is that 215? 115? No, it's got to be 215.
Probably. Dude.
Hold on. Let me look it up. Wait a second.
Get it together.
Go ahead. Go ahead and talk about how Jessica Rose Clark's going to win.
No, I'm not. I would in every other fight because I love her. She's great, dude. I love her accent. I love her happy attitude. I actually love the way that she has her hair done right now. It's unique colors. It's like blue and green. It's fun. It makes me smile. I also love that she did a full camp at Team Alpha Male. And I love me some Team Alpha Male. I love things like that. But this is where it ends. This is it. This is where heart and wallet diverge in a wood, as Robert Frost once said. Stephanie Egger is bigger, stronger. She is going to drown Jessica Rose Clark up against the cage. She is someone that's good with distance type strikers because she's able to, like, just say, fuck it, and bull rush up against the cage and just drown people. She struggles if she can't do that, you know, a la, like, you know, a Caitlin Chookagian type fighter. If someone's really good technical stretching out fights and moving around the cage, she struggles. She's just chasing, you know, the rabbit chasing the carrot, dude, you know. But Jessica Rose Clark, man, she's going to get drowned. That's it. Plus 155. I'm taking Egger. Goodbye, Jessica Rose Clark. It's been real.
I think the only fighter I've seen you smile more when you're talking about is maybe Connor. Like, you couldn't even get through. Like, you were trying. I'm going to give you credit. Words. You were trying really hard to sound like you were focused on the fighting skills there.
I know.
For those of you who are unaware, 3 times a week, Trey texts. And he goes, should I post a thing on social with Jessica Rose Clark? And I'm always like, no, we can't be a Jessica Rose Clark fan page. No, you cannot. It's got to be relevant. Are you okay? You look like you're dreaming here. Are you all right?
No, I'm just thinking, like, you're out of your mind if you don't think I'm going to put up a Jessica Rose Clark asset this week.
I know you will, whether it be fight day or the weigh-in picture. I know it's coming, so that's fine.
I know you're not going to post it. You're going to be too busy watching Shakira and J-Lo halftime shows and doing your homework on the Super Bowl.
Best Super Bowl halftime, for my money. Cause I went back and watched them. I thought Michael Jackson in 93 was good. The one that I forgot about which was amazing, was Prince. Mm. Prince playing Purple Rain in the rain, bro. Goosebumps. Goosebumps.
You're, dude, there's two that trump those immediately. Oh,
it's, wait, hold on a second, real quick. Somebody else sent one in to us. The NSYNC Nelly halftime show was bangers. That was a good one, too.
Katy Perry. Dude, she came in on a lion for Roar. Insane. And then, I'm sorry, probably the greatest of all time, and you cannot dispute this, Creed.
Creed was a good one.
AT&T at the time, but at Cowboy Stadium.
Yeah, with the guys floating on the large like pieces of ribbon. Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah,
the weird naked bald dudes flying around on ribbon.
That was good. That was a good one. I'm a big fan. I was a big fan of that one too. Yeah. Katy Perry gets none of my support because she's a blood sucking vampire that lives off of the blood of harvested children. So
God.
Yeah, her adrenochrome filled body. Yeah, she's just the absolute worst. Just the worst kind of person.
We're not going down that. It's not a thing.
100%. She literally has not aged in 15 years because she just pumps her body full of the blood of innocence. Dude. For sure. 100%. She's just the absolute Illuminati member. 100%.
No.
Yeah. No. I bet you.
There's no such thing as that, first off.
No such thing as the Illuminati.
No, of the other thing. I'm not going to say it.
Adrenochrome? 100% a real thing. No, 100%. That's not a conspiracy. That you can just that literally Google. You can Google that. It doesn't even.
Oh, yeah. And it's going to direct me to the pizza place. Get out of here, dude.
What's the pizza place?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't bait me.
What
are you taking
there?
Jessica Rose Clark? Or you taking Stephanie Egger?
I'm taking Jessica Rose Clark.
Really?
Yeah, I really am.
Why?
I think she's shown marked improvement. I hate that she's a gym nomad. I hate that she's a gym gypsy. But she's gone back to back wrestling camps, AKA and Alpha Male. She's getting better with her wrestling. Remember her last fight? She decided she wasn't going to kickbox. She decided she was just going to go out there and just wrestle death. That girl was. If Egger can't, you know, somehow get her into a trip or a throw and get her up against the cage or get her down and work on her, I think Jessica Rose Clark has better cardio. And she's clearly put in the work to be a little bit more top heavy than she used to be. I think she'll be able to hold top position better. I take Jessica Rose Clark here.
Okay. All right. That one's subject to change.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, Stephanie Egger, I mean, women's science, we like to play the women's underdogs, but you know, nothing that Stephanie Egger has done has been overwhelmingly impressive to me. She lost to Tracy Cortez. And her only win inside the promotion came against Shauna Young. And I just don't care about that at all. That just doesn't do it for me. So.
I'm still going Edgar.
I know you are, but that's okay. All right. Gabriel Benitez at 22-9, taking on David Onama at 8-1. Onama at a -145, Gabriel Benitez at +115. A lot of love on Onama here at the -145, considering the experience of Gabriel Benitez. Trey, as you know, I bet Benitez just about every time out because of, one, great nickname, Mowgli, and two, Javier Mendez, and you're going to hear it 15 times on the broadcast, says that Gabriel Benitez kicks harder than anybody else at AKA.
Yep. Heard that.
Yeah, you're going to hear that. Overrunner on amount of times that you hear that from the broadcast, 1.5.
Yeah, Onama looked fantastic in his last fight. Short notice against Mason Jones. Came in there, Glory MMA, and just freaking wrecked shop. He looked great. I like Glory MMA. I do. I think the whole leg kick thing, sure, that poses somewhat of a threat. But, dude, one thing Benitez doesn't have is a good cardio tank. He doesn't. In the last couple of rounds, he starts to drain the tank. And I think Onama, on short notice, he showed that he can actually get it going even in the later rounds. He carries a good cardio tank. He's very athletic. I think 145 is warranted, man. I'm going to stay Onama.
So just to be clear, Mason Jones won that fight against Onama.
Yeah.
Okay. You said he wrecked shop. I just made me think that you thought he won.
On short notice, dude.
Okay. So he looked good on short notice. Okay.
And was decision, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. 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 He looked fantastic, Tim.
Yeah. So my thing with Gabriel Benitez is I still have yet to gauge the type of fighter he's better than, right? Like, clearly he's better than people that have no business being in the promotion, right? Like the Justin James, the Humberto Bandanais, the Jason Knights. I understand that, right? And we get wins against those guys. But losses to guys like Sadiq Youssef, Omar Morales, those, I don't, that's hard for me to gauge, right? That's hard for me to gauge where he's at. The other thing is with Benitez, he's got to make the weight, man.
Right.
I need him to make weight. So if he makes weight, then I'm more inclined to bet him. I think this fight's realistically is probably closer to a pick 'em, but I think that the love for Onama is coming from the fact that Vegas feels the same way about Benitez as I do, is we don't have an accurate metric as to how good he is and what level of fighter he should be able to beat, because he seemingly, you know, has no rhyme or rhythm to who he beats and how he beats them. So I don't particularly love him in this spot. But while competitive, a decision loss to Mason Jones doesn't tell me a whole lot about Onama either, because Mason Jones, while high volume, not one-punch knockout power, not good body kicks, not, you know, not beating up the legs. It just depends, man. It just depends. So I don't have anything here just yet.
Okay.
There's too many things up in the air. All right. Two fights real quick. We'll go through them. Mario Bautista at 8-2 taking on Jay Perrin. Jay Perrin stepping in late notice. We don't have odds for this one yet. I imagine Bautista is going to be a pretty heavy favorite. Perrin, I think he has 4 out of his 10 wins are from rear naked choke. But, I think initially we probably just go Bautista, right?
Yeah, I don't know anything about Jay Perrin. What promotion did he come from?
CES.
CES?
Yeah, CES.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Say. All right, cool. Yeah. feature prelim, JSP, Jonathan Pierce taking on Christian Rodriguez. Last second replacement here for Rodriguez coming in. I think this fight was initially supposed to be Austin Lingo versus JSP, right, which is a fight I really, really enjoyed. Now we've got a pretty lopsided JSP -340, Christian Rodriguez +265, over rounds at 2.5. It's Jonathan Pierce, and it's Jonathan Pierce inside the distance.
Ooh, yeah. Me like yeah. You got those Jonathan Pierce, even though he's not a like the Russian Dagestanian type person, he has that style. Drown you.
He will drown you, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like what we were hoping Morozov was gonna do last week. But yes, that's what he's gonna do. He's gonna drown you. It's gonna be done inside the distance.
I like it. I like it. I wish there was more to that. If they rebook the Lingo fight, there will be. But the way he went out and beat up Omar Morales and choked him out, Pierce is legit. That kid's legit. So let's recap real quick. 271 was a good event. The Super Bowl halftime show was good, but not great.
No, I don't agree with that, but okay.
Okay. Are you saying it was the greatest ever, or are you just saying it was great?
No, I was saying it's great.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Then I'll use that superlative too. It was great, but it wasn't the greatest ever.
Yes.
I got mad because I was reading the greatest ever.
No.
Okay.
Creed wins that.
Creed wins that. I don't know about that. I don't know.
Debatable.
Debate. Embrace debate. All right. And then... all right, so we did the Super Bowl and Dragon. What else? Yeah, 271, Katy Perry's a vampire, and we donated all the proceeds from the head shirt to the Red Cross, $680. So thank you to you guys. We'll be doing another t-shirt sale. When are we doing the Cox Mountain Warrior shirt?
I know, that's a good one. We gotta put that one in parallel with like a Cox Mountain card, dude.
Okay, so let's do this. If Islam Makhachev beats Beneil Dariush,
not going to happen.
Just let me say it.
I know. It's not going to happen.
We have the designs made up for these already. If Islam Makhachev beats Beneil Dariush, Caucus Mountain Warrior shirt is the next one to come out.
I want to make a Benil Dariush one of some Benny and Me eggs, dude.
Well, get Benny with Caleb and, let's get the design made. Benny and eggs. Right. Eggs and Benny. If it's not that one, then if what will we release if Benil Dariush wins?
Wave the flag.
We'll do the wave the flag. Perfect. All right. So if Benny wins, we get the wave the flag. And if Islam wins, we'll release the Cox Mountain Warrior shirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like this. Solid. I like this. These are good. This is good.
It's good.
All right. And then, as always, Saturday, Slips Instagram. We'll post it out a couple hours before the event so you guys can follow or fade if you like. What we say on the show is not necessarily a direct reflection on how we're going to bet. Always bet responsibly. If you haven't done so, please consider thumbs upping the video if you watched it. Leave a comment if you want. Best way to support the show is by following us on Instagram, Twitter, emails if you're into that thing. But you can also go to show sponsors. Go to stayclassymeats.com, use promo code FIST, save 10% off your entire order. Or go to allegianceclothing.com, use promo code PUNCH, you save 15% there. 5-star reviews are always welcome. And if you listen to us on Spotify, you can rate the individual episodes. So if you liked it at all, give it a 3, 4, 5. I don't care what you do. Just rate it because that's what they like. They like to see the interaction. So I appreciate all you guys. Thanks for contributing. Thanks for making the show possible. I love you. And I will talk to you this weekend.
Bang, bang.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.